typical average kids inside a haunted mansion. Ooh. Just by chance, Rita goes to Nathan Beetleborgs.
Hey everybody, welcome to a bonus episode of Teenagers with Attitude, the podcast that finishes what it starts, goddammit. Today we're gonna be finally getting around to talking about the second episode of Big Bad Beetleborgs. It took us a while. The kids have spent the last, 2 months or so being turned into rats. Although apparently, before we started recording, everyone told me that it was just the version I saw that had that, and that's really starting to freak me out now.
You got the director's cut.
I got the fucking director's cut of Big Bad Beetleborgs. That's great.
Mike apparently watched Big Bad Beetleborgs on the original, like, 8mm film. I don't know what's going on. Like,
oh, man. There's a special reel that only, like, 5 people in the world have, and one of them is Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, it's like Blade Runner. There's theatrical cut, there's syndication cut, there's director's cut, you know.
Oh, of course. All right, so anyway, I'm your host tonight. My name is Mike, and joining me is a cavalcade of wonderful returning guests. First of all, that voice you've already heard, that's Jules.
Hi there.
All right, we've also got Tiberius.
Hi-ho, guys.
Yeah, we keep bringing you back for bug-related things, and I don't know, we're not doing that on purpose, I promise.
No, I think I'm doing it. I love bugs and spiders and purple suits, so I guess this is also my jam.
All right, yeah, purple suits are good. We've also got Molly.
Hi, I think this show's more bug adjacent than it is really about bugs.
And last but not least, the only person returning from the first episode of Big Bad Beetleborgs, we've got Greg.
I'm back, bitches!
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Everyone else was turned into rats at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, it was real sad.
Yeah, poor Joe.
Yeah. So, there's not really a whole lot to go into before we start describing the episode. I mean, I could try and do a summary of the first episode, but almost nothing from the first episode matters in the second episode. And, like, really, if you need the plot, it's all there in the theme song anyway, so whatever, fuck it.
Yeah, that actually pretty much does cover the first episode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's peak 90s kids shows.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that's really going to become relevant, and it's not going to become relevant until the end, is that the reason these kids are in this haunted house is because of a dare from the two local bullies, which, you know, whatever. But anyway, so let's get started. Beetle Rock Part 2. So we begin with what was for me a repeat of the end of the first episode, but for everyone else is totally new footage, apparently, and I feel like I'm going insane. We begin with the kids, Drew, his little sister Joe, and his friend Roland, kind of in a huddle in this secret room of a haunted house, looking at a comic book. And they apparently have a wish, because they set free a phasm named Flabber, who's like a weird ghost man. They set him free from a pipe organ, and he's this weird, like, he's like Jay Leno with a huge nose and, like, pasty white makeup. Like, he's supposed to be a weird ghost man, but he's
got the blue tingy look too. He looks sick.
Yeah, that, like, you can tell they were trying to go for Elvis in some way.
They definitely mentioned Elvis was like an inspiration for him, but
yeah,
he's definitely like a manic Elvis impersonator, but he also really, really wants to be Robin Williams, because he goes off on all kinds of crazy tangents and does impersonations at weird times. Like, it's, oh, God, and he's really annoying.
Bit of a Liberace feel to him as well.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know enough about Liberace, but I feel very Liberace.
That's something that came up last time is, I believe Joe, in particular, described him as a sea captain by way of Liberace.
Yes.
So
that's named my new old album. You can catch it on the deep web.
All right, so
you tell me you're in the Decemberists.
Okay, I'm just gonna show myself out. That's peak podcast joke right there. Shit.
Oh man. So basically, these kids, I guess Flabber, which is, I mean, that's his fucking name, Flabber. And he says things like flabberific and stuff all throughout this show, and it's really obnoxious. But anyway, so he was trapped in a pipe organ, and the kids accidentally set him free, and he's going to grant them a wish. And they've decided that, like, basically these kids are all big fans of a comic book named Beetleborgs. And it's this whole thing where they like to hang out in the comic shop that Roland's dad and grandmother run. And they're going to, like, hey, we're going to wish to be the Beetleborgs. And it's going to be great. And Flabber has no fucking clue what a Beetleborg is. And because, understandably, he's had no access to pop culture for, I assume, at least 50 years.
Just at a minimum, 50.
But apparently, like, there was a good reason he was locked up, because he looks at this comic book, and he immediately, like, gravitates toward a picture of rats on the corner of the front cover, which I don't know why a comic book would have rats on the front cover.
I think it says something like, next, rats, if I remember correctly. Like, that was captioned next to the picture or something along those lines.
It says next issue, which... So they're advertising what's happening in the issue after this one on the front of this issue, and the big thing that they're really trying to get people to, like, to entice people to come back next month is there's going to be rats! So anyway, so Flabber looks at that, he casts a spell, and in a really, really shitty computer effect, the kids turn into rats. And they start freaking out. And also, who starts freaking out? So basically, there's these three tiny multicolored women living in the pipe organ who are sort of like Flabber's backup singers.
Yeah, what's up with that? I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah, they did a lot more in the first half, but they're called the Pipettes, which, ha-ha.
Yeah, you know. Sure.
Yeah.
You don't really see them a whole lot, if I remember, over the course of the season. Like, at the start, you sort of see them more, but then they don't really appear that much after.
Yeah, well, they're kind of restricted to the organ room, so yeah. That's kind of understandable. They can't really move around. They're literally just sticking out of the pipes. So anyway, the kids freak out, and then Flabber's like, "Oh, whoops, my bad," and he, you know, returns them to normal. And so he's like, "Okay, I think I've got it now." He's looking at the cover, and Flabber, he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna make you superheroes." And this is actually kind of a cool transformation sequence here, where the kids, like, they turn into drawings, and then sort of the actual material, like the metal, like, forms over the drawings, and it's actually kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I actually like that effect quite a bit.
It's a neat sequence.
Yeah, it's sort of our first hint of the tokusatsu footage, which the source show for this is, like, what's it called, like Metal Heroes.
That's like that. The series, the same way, like, Drew Ranger and stuff is from Super Sentai. It's, what was it? B-Fighter was the name of the actual show this originated from.
Yeah, so basically, like, so now they're superheroes, but now they're trapped in the cover of the comic book. Which, god damn it, Flabber. I mean,
it's just one, like, Falcian bargain after another. Christ.
Yeah, like, that's a... Like, Flabber's not a friendly ghost. He's basically an evil djinn.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think he's a djinn based on how much he's messing up the wish.
Yeah, he really likes to fuck with these kids. And even when he finally gets, like, the spell, quote-unquote, right, he's still cursing these children to having to fight villains for the rest of time.
He's kind of like a bunch of monkey paws became sentient and formed a man.
Oh, more monkey paw than men now.
I know, like, he's terrible at giving wishes.
Oh, God.
Wishes. By that I mean I have curses, but they're also wishes.
I mean, that's the whole point of a monkey paw, the fact that you wish something and it ends up being a curse as well.
That would have been an awesome monster for the show. I mean, we had a giant snake made of snakes for Power Rangers. If we had had a giant monkey paw made out of other monkey paws,
that sounds more like a Dark Souls like monster you fight. Actually, the more I think about it,
yeah, hit them and they'd all like walk around like thing and like reform. Oh man,
oof, that's a bit too much for this show. But we're already basically doing Wishmaster, you know, but G rated. So the kids finally get out of the comic book cover. They're like, yeah, awesome, we've got all the powers. And they name off, like, what they are. Drew is Joe is the Red Striker Borg with the Striker Blaster. Drew is the blue Stinger Borg with the Stinger Blade, and Roland is the green Hunter Borg with the Hunter Claw. So they're basically these robot people with weapons on their hands, and they have, like, horns on their head to indicate that they're supposed to be beetles, and that's really all they have to indicate that they're supposed to be beetles. But so the other monsters that live in the haunted house, which... this was a whole other thing in the first half of this. But basically, we have a Frankenstein named Frankie. We have a Dracula named Fangula. And we have a skeleton man named Mums. Because when he first showed up, it looked like he was going to be a mummy, but then he unraveled himself and just started dressing like a Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what the hell he was. I was like, is he a skeleton? Is he a mummy? Is he a Reaper? Because it's just a man in a bad skeleton onesie outfit, basically.
I'm still wondering if he had the cloak under the wrap, or if he took the wraps off and then put the cloak on and started chasing them.
I don't know.
He was all wrapped up in a coffin in the closet, and then he unwrapped himself when Joe opened the door, and he was very upset that she called him junk. So he chased them.
That's understandable.
Yeah,
that's a mean thing to say. But so the monsters come in, and the kids who had spent like the previous episode running away from these guys is like, "Hey, we've got superpowers now. Let's fuck with these monsters." And they start zapping them and
just beat the shit out of them. Let's be honest here; they just beat the shit out of them.
It's really one sided. I really feel sorry for these like horrible monsters. There's a whole lot of ridiculous cartoon sound effects. There's a whole lot of, like, the kids taking turns doing things, and while they're doing something to the monsters, the other kids cheer, and Dr. Fangula's pants get pulled down at one point. It's wack. It's good, wacky, like, fun for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's super dumb, but... Whatever, you know?
It's the fact that the costumes are so bad, you don't see them as, oh, they're fighting monsters in a goofy fight. You just go, are they, like, fighting haunted house, like, employees?
Minimum wage college kids?
Like, we're trying to scare these kids to earn, like, minimum wage, and whoops, we're now, crap, there go my pants, I'm being thrown through a wall.
Well, they actually, like, the way the scene ends is Flabber goes, hey, now these guys aren't that bad. Like, don't pick on them too much. And
just
the kids
a Dracula.
Go, yeah. He just tried to eat our blood. That's fine. But so the kids are like, hey, if they leave us alone, we'll leave them alone. And the monsters are like, deal. And then they run away, like, right through the wall. And they leave holes in the wall in the shapes of their bodies, you know, like a cartoon. This show... compared to Power Rangers and especially compared to VR Troopers really leans into the whole, like, this is a live action cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about how young Power Rangers skews, and this seems to skew even younger.
Yep.
And, like, in that sense, I think it's a better show, at least than VR Troopers, maybe better than Power Rangers in some respects. Like, just, because it knows what it is and it fucking goes for it.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems a bit more cohesive than what VR Troopers was.
Oh, absolutely. Pretty much everything is more cohesive than VR Troopers. But it seems to know more of what it is than any of the other shows we've kind of done for this, with the exception of Gar Oak, but that was a special case. After the monsters run away, some shit happens. Like, the comic book that the kids got their powers out of is lying on the ground. There's some fire swirling around, and Flabber basically goes, "Uh-oh!" And like, he's like, "Oh, whoops! I fucked up." And
yeah, big fucking surprise from Flabber. God damn it!
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I wasn't guarding the door." I'm like, "What fucking door?"
Yeah.
Whatever the gate has been unsealed.
Yeah. Whatever magic he used to give these kids their powers from the comic book apparently allowed the villains from the comic book to escape into the real world. And, man, I love this sequence of the bad guys
it's
running around
so
in the suburban town.
Good.
It's the best?
I kind of was hoping this would be the rest of the show. Like, I just want to see just really not, like, shitty as in, like, they're bad at their job, but they also are kind of bad at the job. But, like, just goofy villains who find themselves in the real world and who are kind of self-aware about it.
Yeah,
they're totally aware that they were previously just they say things like, man, it feels so good to be three-dimensional. It's so good to hear people scream instead of just read it. It's great.
And I mean, like, how they mentioned... Like when they mentioned, like, oh, what kind of city is this? There's no, you know, there's no subway and there's no skyscrapers. We're doomed to suburbia. Like,
I like during the course of it, Jared at one point actually realizes, wait, my mouth doesn't move. How am I supposed to eat?
Yeah,
like, that's correct.
Yeah,
yeah. So in specific, so I don't really have their names and
it's,
whatever. Fuck it.
Typhus, Noxic, and what was the last one? Her name?
I think
Jara.
Jara.
Jara. That's it. Something close.
Okay,
to that.
Okay, so Jara is, she's this. Two of them are robots. One's a weird kind of monster man. But the lady has this thick fake Russian accent and is dressed in all red. So she's got that whole thing going on. One of the other guys is a white robot with like electric robo tube dreadlocks.
Yeah, yep, fiber optics kind of are trying to be.
And I was his voice. I was trying to put it, and then I remembered.
Know.
Oh my god, he was Demi Devimon in Digimon.
As well as Vmon and Impmon.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh wow.
Okay.
No, because it's weird, because again, we had fucking the voice actor for Jedi from Digimon in VR Troopers, so I guess this is where they got their start?
I suppose, maybe. Like, so, and the third guy is a weird... He's
plant?
Kind of a plant monster, but the top of his head can open up, so...
He's like a shark
okay.
whale plant guy.
I thought he was like a weird alligator kind of looking... Shark man.
Wikipedia
it's a whale.
Says that it's like a chimera composite like humanoid monster.
That's
that
giving the creators way too
yeah,
much credit
really
for their writing ability.
He's a fucking mess is what he is. Like
with like the monsters in the haunted house, you can be like, okay, Frankenstein. Okay, you know, Dracula. These guys I was like, okay, what are they trying to be?
Well, I mean, two of them are supposed to be robots, and that's easy enough to follow. But the third guy, like, I don't know what the fuck his deal is.
I kind of love him. Typhus is my favorite.
Yeah, but he's...
The fact that he keeps saying, baby, like...
Yeah. So that's kind of... Let's get to their voices a little bit. So we mentioned that the lady one has this ridiculous, thick, fake Russian accent. She basically talks like Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, yeah.
And then the white one with the dreadlocks, and I mean white people with dreadlocks, am I right? But he has this like fast talking high pitch, like yeah, we're gonna do the thing, and then we're gonna yeah, the boss is gonna you know.
I put a note saying somebody's channeling some Joe Pesci here.
Yeah. Oh man, you want to imagine this guy getting beaten to death like Joe Pesci in Casino? Oh.
Meanwhile, I have to attempt Typhus' voice. It's just like he will literally say, "I'm not joking." Yeah, baby, chill. What's up?
Yeah, like that, he's got almost kind of a Fat Albert thing going
yeah.
on. It's
he does.
It's
the best.
They're
the
all so
best.
Wacky.
And the fact is, like, they're not causing mass destruction themselves. They're just being petty dicks.
Yeah, it's a weird
yeah.
like
just walking around.
It's a weird juxtaposition where they're like, okay, we're at a haunt where they go to a theater and they like just steal people's popcorn and stuff. And then it cuts back to Flabber and he's like, oh shit, stuff's blowing up. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Flabber's like later on, Flabber's going to show the kids what these monsters are doing on like a crystal ball. And it's going to show like Sentai footage of buildings falling apart. But every time we actually see these monsters doing stuff directly, they're just kind of scaring people. So anyway, let's get specifically into what these monsters do. So they show up in like sort of in the middle of the street, and they point at like these kids on a bench are reading a comic book, and they you know zap the comic book, and these fucking like drones come out. Oh shoot, what are they called? Magnivore jet fighters?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
That's about right. Yeah. Okay.
And like Russian voice lady even says, "Aren't robot controlled?" Pilot's the best. I'm not going to try and do her voice.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and this is where we see buildings blowing up, and it's like, oh man, that's bad.
And the CG is incredible, for the record.
The CG is fucking beautiful. So we cut back to the haunted house, and the kids are like, Flabber, what did you do? They're talking to him like the dog that went on the carpet. You know, it's like, hey, Flabber, did you make a boo-boo? What did you do, Flabber? And this is where he explains, like, I left the door open, you know, they flew the comic coop. I accidentally let the villains out, that's a problem. So, you're gonna need to go out there and do something about it. I mean, you're superheroes now, so that's kind of your deal.
Fuck you, Flappa.
Yeah.
It gave you superpowers and a sense of responsibility. Now you have a mess to clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I goofed it, but I guess you should do something about it now.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. Like, not me with my seemingly infinite power, but you kids go take care of this. Yeah. But then we cut back to Monster Squad running around in the city. And like, hey, so what should we do? Should we go meet the boss at the rendezvous point? Or should we just kind of fuck around for a while?
Yeah, they go, let's sightsee.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. We've never been in the real world before. Let's go see what this place has to offer. They walk past, like, a cake shop, and they scare a dude on a bike into crashing in through the front door of the cake shop, and there's a big splat thing, and it's great.
And he walks out wearing, like, an entire cake.
Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, he's got some cake on his face.
He's wearing a wedding cake. He's got, like, the little figure of the husband and wife on his head.
Let's get the measurement correct. He's, like, I don't know, 5 episodes of bulk wearing cake from Power Rangers in terms of how much cake he's covered in.
He is covered in 2 literal tiers of cake. He's got one on his head and one on his shoulder, and I bet there's more on his butt.
Oh, guarantee there's more on his butt. So they run around, and the monsters get to a movie theater. And again, this is something we kind of talked about in part one, but, like, way more so than Power Rangers and VR Troopers. Like, this show feels like it actually takes place somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we actually see an awful lot of this town. But anyway, so... Okay, so here's a weird fucking thing. The monsters stop in front of this theater that's apparently showing a monster movie marathon, and they see a poster for what's basically like a Godzilla stand-in movie. And like, hey, one of them says to one of the others, hey, is that your cousin Iggy?
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the eyes for it. Like.
Yeah, and then they scare a dude who's like holding a butter popcorn, and this extra like just fucking shakes in place frantically until another dude runs past him and knocks the popcorn out of his hands. It's actually kind of funny.
Are we gonna talk about his mustache?
Oh wait, no, we're talking about him. I'm too far ahead.
There's a lot of popcorn guys.
I like before they enter the theater, you just see Typhus in the background. He just introduces himself to someone. He goes, hey, what's up? I'm Typhus. What's your name? What the fuck is going on?
I just transcended into the real world, and boy, are my arms tired.
So, I just noticed that these three are literally across the street from the comic shop that they all came from. Is there nobody there now?
I guess.
Does nobody recognize him?
I don't know. Is it the comic shop? Because there's pretty much only one comic shop in this show, and it's the one that Roland's dad and grandma.
It's definitely the same sign on that shop. It has to be that comic shop.
Maybe they just thought they were cosplayers.
Yeah, that's maybe. True.
Yeah.
Just feel like awful cosplayers.
I can see it being something like Roland's dad is like, going to Roland's grandmother, like, Mom, did we advertise some sort of a costume contest?
Yeah. That dude was kind of whiny in the first episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man. And I wish we got so much... I wish we got more of the grandma in this episode, because the grandma is the best character.
Holy... Yeah. The minute, maybe 30 seconds we get of her is just fucking amazing.
Yeah. In the first episode, she shows up on a motorcycle racing some dude named Snake. So it's
yeah, she
pretty
rode
great.
Through like a garden in order to win the race and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. So we go to the inside of the movie theater, and okay, so the audio is of someone speaking in Japanese, like it's like a Godzilla movie, but every time we see the screen, it's Nosferatu.
I noticed that too. Yeah. Like, it's Nosferatu in Japanese.
I don't know. Why would anyone in America watch Nosferatu in Japanese?
I want to see Toku Faradu now.
Oh man! So the monsters go into the theater and they scare off a bunch of people in the back row. The people in the front row don't notice, and so Russian voice robo lady sits next to this guy in a ridiculous cap and mustache, and she reaches into a bucket of popcorn he's got and just takes some. And then he gives her this look like he's smiling, like, oh.
He's into it.
Yeah, hey, robot lady. How are you? Hey,
sup?
You doing anything?
Oh, God, my face
like the way that
real.
You don't have. I like the way that your face doesn't have any orifices. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm into that. I like the way that you try to eat and you just kind of mash the popcorn on your face. That's hot. In any case, she tells him to buzz off, and he's like, oh, sure. I'm out of here. He carefully hands her his popcorn and soda, reaches into his pocket and pulls out a box of, like, what I assume are, like, milk duds, and hands them to her. He's like, here you go, and he runs away.
And but she's like super. She's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. So they keep the monsters keep trying to eat. The robot lady's really frustrated because she can't. Because of the three characters that came to the real world, she's the only person whose mouth doesn't work. The other two are loving all this popcorn they're eating. The monster dude's eating out the top of his head, and it's really freaky.
He's just pouring it all over himself. His head mouth, I guess, isn't even, like, opening all the way. It's like a bad garbage can that keeps closing when you press the pedal, and it just falls all over himself.
Let's be honest, though. If any of us had, like, a whale top head second mouth that could open like garbage can, wouldn't you just not want to eat through that a lot of the time?
Yeah, that seems so much easier.
Oh, no, I super would.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, so a lady finally from the row in front of them turns around and notices the monster and screams, and then it's all-out chaos in this theater. There is popcorn flying everywhere. It's actually pretty great. Like, I really like this theater scene. It's dumb, goofy, like, live-action cartoon stuff, but I really like it.
The only thing it was missing is if the monsters themselves were wondering what everyone else is scared by, and they suddenly got scared as well.
That's yeah. The only thing yeah. It
it's like, oh god, yeah. What? There's a monster? What?
Yeah, we still get a bunch of little gags. One of the guys is like, oh man, this popcorn is better than anything I've ever eaten. And another one of them goes, yeah, but you've never eaten anything before. Which, you know, hey, fair point. Yeah. And then Robo Lady again is complaining, like, I still can't eat. This isn't fair. My mouth doesn't work.
That's fucked up. That's straight fucked up.
I almost felt bad for her.
Yeah, like, she'll never get to experience food. That sucks. But so... We fade out, I presume, to commercial, and we cut back to the secret room in the haunted house, and it's... Oh, okay, it's Flabber playing a song on the organ, and he sings, "It's really uncool to be cruel to a phasm that's blue." And then he starts sobbing, and
fuck you, Flabber!
Fucking hell. You, Flabber is the worst. He's the worst!
Yeah, he's...
He makes me miss Woody from VR Troopers, and that makes me sad, like, on a primal level.
And that is saying a lot, because we fucking hated Woody from VR Troopers.
Woody was more like... Woody didn't just anger me. He mostly angered me because he confused me. I didn't know what Woody was. Flabber just annoys me and bores me.
Flabber is all answers, and they're all bad.
Like,
I think Flabber doesn't know what he's doing either.
Like, if I went to a talent show and there was a weird Dada sketch, I would be confused, maybe a little angry by that, but that's Woody. I would go, okay, sure. I would just clap confusedly and go, okay, they did their bit. Flabber's like a bad stage magician comedian. You just want to see him go away.
Yeah. Woody's Andy Kaufman, and Flabber is... Jim Carrey at his most obnoxious.
Oh,
is
God.
Basically what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So,
but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
At least he didn't talk out of his butt.
Yeah.
Harsh, but fair.
He might somewhere later in the series. We haven't gotten
I wouldn't
there
put
yet.
That above Flabber.
It's still early.
Yeah, so we cut to the graveyard, which is apparently the rendezvous point. The monsters are like, okay, like, let's, we need to meet the boss. He's probably going to be mad at us for taking so long. And... Robo Lady's like, well, you two couldn't tear yourselves away from eating all that popcorn and used chewing gum in the theater.
I love how they make reference to the fact that there's like, why is there so much fog here?
Yeah! Like, I was on smoking rendezvous point, like...
Yeah.
Pretty good Joker.
It's mood, it's atmosphere. And the fact that she pronounces bubblegum like bubblegum. Like.
Yeah. I mean, we're skipping past a lot of it because we don't want to, like, recite all the dialogue in the show.
But,
like,
oh, I could.
The Monster Crew is actually really fun. Like,
these guys
are
great.
As obnoxious as Flabber is, like, I fucking love the Monster Crew. So, the big bad comes out. Like, what's his fucking name again? Like,
Vexor.
Yeah. A sarcophagus opens up, basically, and he rises out, and he talks like the voiceover from Monster Mash, and
he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, you morons, what was taking you so long?
He's kind of like a disgruntled manager, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, so he sinks back into the tombstone because apparently their secret hideout is in there, and you know the monsters jump in behind him, and then we basically end up in some catacombs.
Yeah, like they're lined with skulls.
Yeah, like catacombs or a crypt of some sort.
Yeah, the base is really cool.
Yeah. Oh man, do you think the crypt keeper's down here?
Oh, that'd be great if they were roommates.
He's like, keep it down.
Yeah, there's this new guy in town. He seemed like he needed help, so I lent him the crypt.
Oh, man. I can
imagine this.
This is Airbnb, but for monsters? Like, the crypt keeper just put on a listing?
Oh, God. But, like, I'm actually kind of surprised that, like, again, considering how young the show seems to be skewing, I'm kind of surprised that we're seeing all these, like, skulls everywhere.
I thought that, too, when I saw it. I'm like, man, that's a little out there for.
But it is kind of so undercut by the bumbling antics of these three monsters and their boss. Yeah, like,
it's Halloween spooky. You're allowed to be Halloween spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a graveyard smash.
For a show that isn't allowed to say the word undead, there's a lot of dead stuff everywhere.
Yeah. Oh god, that's still the worst thing is when they say unliving.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. So when the bullies in the first episode are like daring the kids to stay in the house, what they talk about, like, are you ready to wake the unliving? Yeah. And I'm just like, oh god damn it. We get a lot of like, there's a lot of camera stuff in this scene to try and make it seem scarier. Like there's a lot of weird Dutch angles and there's mist everywhere. But the monsters are like, oh hey boss, nice digs. This is nice. This is really. I like what you've done with the place. We don't even need to redecorate because there's fucking skulls everywhere. It's great. the big bad guy, Vexor?
Vexor.
Yeah. Yeah,
Vexor. Okay. He's saying, like, hey, so we've been in the real world for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes now, and you still haven't destroyed the Beetleborgs, and that's a problem. And then the monsters straight up go, like, hey, no offense, boss, but, like, you're kind of the brains of this outfit. Do you have a plan? Which, man, I've never seen a minion do that, and that's pretty fucking sweet, actually.
Yeah.
And he says, well, what do you think I've been doing this whole time? Twiddling my thumbs? Of course I have a plan. My plan is that I'm going to send you out to destroy the Beetleborgs. And the monster's basically going, like, what?
That's the plan.
That's it?
That's the plan.
Yeah, wait, seriously?
Okay, fearless leader, that's...
Your plan is win, okay?
Yeah, like, the Russian robot lady straight up says, like, can you be more specific? Which... Oh, man, I'm sorry, I fucking really love these guys!
They're the best.
Yeah, so they're gonna go back to the haunted house, and I guess, I don't know, kill the kids? Question mark?
Yeah.
Try and do something about Flabber, I don't know.
And the fact that they know about Flabber. Like, they actually,
yeah, I don't know,
like,
what the beef
him, like,
is here, but...
Like, Vexel seems to have, like, some sort of feud with him.
Well, they seem to be aware that they were in a comic, and that...
Yeah.
They seem to be aware of the stuff that was happening outside in the real world while they were in the comic.
Yeah. This isn't, like, you know, like a Last Action Hero situation where, like, the characters still think they're in a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this... Like, these villains are totally aware that they're fictional characters that are real now, and they know exactly how that came to happen. And it's... It's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
It's nice. We get a little bit of the... We get a little bit of the fish out of water you know, comedy without having to be like, well, fucking, why don't the characters know anything?
So well, the fish out of water stuff is the fact that they're three weird-looking monsters that are just roaming around suburbia, which is great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll see what happens when these monsters go to the haunted house. Okay, so we come back and there's this shitty like fireball effect as the three monster dudes basically teleport to the haunted house, and Flabber goes, they're here, because again he wants to be Robin Williams and making pop culture references is what he's got to do. Mm-hmm. And so the kids are like, oh god, like we don't know how to fight monsters. What do we do? We need to turn back into the Beetleborgs. And Flabber goes like, oh, that's no problem. Basically, you just need to whistle the Flabber notes and stuff, and you'll get your transformation things from the comic.
And then like, he plays them on the piano.
Yeah, he plays three notes.
Sorry, I doubt any of these kids have any idea how to tone match.
Yeah. But like, but these kids at the same time, like, they've been gung-ho about everything that's happened so far, but like, having to whistle is the thing that they're like, wait, no, this is bullshit, Flabber. We can't whistle.
How do you do this?
He straight up has to tell them, like, you just pucker your lips and blow. I mean, come on, whistling.
I would be really the worst Beetleborg because I can't whistle.
Yeah.
I would be the worst Beetleborg.
No, same here. I can't whistle either. Like, I'll give these kids shit because, like, they're making a huge deal out of, you know, like, of all the things to be like, no, Flabber, this is crossing the line. This is a weird thing for them to freak out about. But yeah, I can't whistle either.
Man, that would be hilarious. I have to wonder. The episodes slammed to a halt because they're like, yeah, we don't know how to whistle. Ooh.
Well, shit.
Ooh.
<Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba>. Yeah.
And then they all died.
I wonder why they got rid of that.
Yeah. So, you know, they whistle and then they have the transformation devices in their hands all of a sudden. And then we get the comic book style transformation sequence again, but more elaborate this time. And again, it's real fucking neat. I like it.
Yeah, that was probably one of the better parts of the episode, I'd say.
The kids are suddenly, they're on the stairwell of the haunted house. And again, okay, so this is something that keeps throwing me off. I'm trying to figure out what, if any, actual, like, tokusatsu footage there is in this episode.
Almost none.
Near as I could tell, there was none in the first one. And there doesn't seem to be much in this one. And I'm like, there has to be a lot of it later on, right? Because, like, that's Saban's deal, is repurposing existing footage.
That's what I was wondering, if this was even one of those cut-together shows, because it didn't seem like there was any in this episode, really.
I know in the future episodes, when they summon their vehicles, that's all tokusatsu footage.
Yeah.
And
it's mostly, like, vehicles and big outdoor fights, I'd say.
Yeah.
But okay. Anything involving an actual set in a fictional place that Saban's show created, that's usually, they just use the suits and that they film their own scenes.
Yep.
Because, man, B-Fighter is nothing like this whatsoever.
What is B-Fighter actually like? Because I'm curious.
B-Fighter is basically, oh boy. Alright, so, it's essentially super environmentalist tokusatsu, and it's all about the space empire invading Earth. You know, all these environmentalists who are part of, like, this Earth defense team are recognizing that nature's freaking out because of this, like, as early warning signs. And then three members of this team, after, like, their defense forces put together these, like, you know, mechanical suits, have decided they're going to try and fight the evil empire. The suits don't work as well, but then they meet a mystical man who has the life of the forest, like, all these beetles, like, give, basically, you know, spirit bomb style, give their life energy to these suits.
Yeah.
So that's why they're based on beetles, and it's them basically fighting evil space monsters while defending Earth and talking about, you know, environmentalism.
Okay.
Also, they're all,
yeah,
like,
okay.
Adults. None of them are kids or teenagers. They're all, like, adults, and... Yeah, this... I've watched Speed Fighter, the first few episodes, and it's, like, nothing fucking like this whatsoever.
That's okay. One of the things I was most surprised about with this show, is I don't remember these kids being as young as they were, but, man, these are...
Yeah!
I could have mistaken them for, like, really elementary school kids.
Well, it's again, like, to kind of contrast this with the other two big Saban shows of the day, like, you know, we're not dealing with adults pretending to be teenagers, and we're not dealing with adults pretending to be adults. Like, we're having actual children, and that really changes the tone of the show.
Yeah.
Like, like for a lot of the time, one of the things we kind of joke about a lot on the main show is that even though Power Rangers is set in a high school, everything is basically, like, everything operates like an elementary school. The characters behave like small children. Their lessons in school involve question marks and things. Like, it's all very like, yeah, we say they're teenagers, but this is just little kids. But, like, this feels a bit more genuine because it's little kids acting like little kids.
These are obviously, like, middle schoolers. They're, like...
Yeah, I mean, you do run into the problems of, like, you know, precocious child actors can be kind of obnoxious, see the bullies, but, like, it's still... It feels more cohesive. It feels coherent because of that, you know?
Kind of forces them to be a little bit more creative as well. Like, again, in another show, I don't think we would have had Monster Crew just dicking around like crappy bullies around town.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if, like, Goldar was just running around trashing the theater?
Oh, that'd be
great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't really
in
have,
a smoking,
like,
jacket.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to see Goldar's pants fall down in Power Rangers the way Count Fangles
do. Oh, but I want to now.
Yeah, oh, that would be great.
It has to happen.
Are you saying Goldar has too much dignity for this? That's good.
Of course. Goldar is someone with some self-respect. So, one thing we kind of missed. During this bit where the kids transform here, the process of transforming is called the Beetle Blast.
Yeah.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh. Not like it should be a weapon or an attack.
Yeah.
No, like that's the transformation sequence. Like it's the Beetle Blast. So they get to, I guess, the foyer of the haunted house. And okay, so here's what's weird. Flabber keeps reacting to the fight like he's terrified of what's happening, but like he's still in the secret room, isn't he? Like I'm confused about where everything is.
Maybe he's watching from the crystal ball.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
Yeah. Although okay, I did find it funny that the monsters arrive and they're like, man, this place is a dump. And I'm like, you just came from a fucking crypt.
I don't know, the crypt seems
Yeah, but
more,
that crypt was
like,
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That crypt is up to code, thank you very much.
I mean, the Crypt Keeper, he doesn't skimp out on, you know, the feng shui of his evil lair.
You want him to get a bad Airbnb rating? Come on.
Yeah, Mike Holmes went in there and made sure that place was up to code before they moved in.
He made sure that place had dial-up. He's got to make sure, like, people, you know, get a good rating. People gets good
business. I bet Vexor doesn't pay for the fog. He just kind of, like, uses the fog machine, didn't tip or anything. This guy's clown shoes. He doesn't have his own fog machine. Come on.
So the kids jump out into the foyer and they're like, man, this seems, you know, this is a little weird. It seems a little bit like, and I forget exactly how the dialogue goes, but basically the end result is like, it's a trap. And we get onomatopoeias on the screen.
Oh,
like it's a comic
it.
Book. We get, yeah, it's yeah. a zap and like the monsters each start zapping the three kids, but they each do it in a different way, which I kind of like.
They each have their own beams.
Yeah. One of them is like shooting pulses and stuff, and it's kind of nice. So, basically, the kids start fighting back, and we kind of see them show off their different powers one at a time. So, Joe in the red suit like picks up the white dude and starts spinning him around on her finger like a basketball, and it's great.
And she tries to make a really bad pun, something about going around in circles. So I'm like, the youth of that day knew nothing of the miracle of puns.
No, she literally just says, you're going in circles while she's spinning him on her finger.
Yeah,
that's
speaking
it.
Of going around in speaking of going around in circles, Roland in the green suit starts running circles around Plant Monster Guy, like using his super speed, and like makes the dude really dizzy. And let's see, Drew in the blue suit just kind of punches the Russian lady and she falls down.
Mm-hmm. He like jumped off the staircase and grabbed a chandelier and kicked her.
He kind of did a sweet Ong Bak move, like
yeah,
pretty cool.
It was cool, but at the same time, it seems like he didn't do shit compared to anyone else.
Yeah, our fearless leader, everybody. So, basically, the end result is the monsters end up on the ground in a heap.
Well, Joe literally throws Noxic at the other ones, just like, get the hell out.
Yeah. And so, like, hey, basically, Jara, the Russian robo lady, goes, hey, you know what, guys? I have an idea. Why don't we retreat? And the two dudes are like, you know what? That's a good idea. You lead the way. And they flee. And I kind of like that little bit.
Yeah.
It just clicked for me. I like this monster crew so much because it's basically like if Bulk and Skull were Power Ranger monster villains.
Yeah. It's great. And what's really dumb here, I guess... Okay, so the kids are talking mad amounts of shit throughout this whole scene. I mean, we skimmed past it, but, like, yeah, they keep talking about, like, haha, you know, you guys are just, you're fucking useless, like, get wrecked, scrubs, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, at the end of this, after they flee, Joe steps forward and is like, I've lost track of how many bad guys we've beat today, which...
It's three.
They beat three.
I mean,
they beat exactly three monsters.
I think she's including the other, like, house monsters. Yeah.
The other monster crew.
I assume that's what it was.
That is kind of confusing, is because there's two sets of monster crews. There's the actual, like, villains, and then there's the monsters that just kind of
the
hang
the literal
around.
Universal monster crew.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that, too.
The bee monster crew. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's, okay, so speaking of monsters, so they go back to their hideout, and, fuck, I keep forgetting his name, main bad guy.
Vexor,
thank you. Thank you for keeping me on task here. So Vexor's like, you idiots, how could you fuck up? I gave you one job. I gave you the perfect plan of just go to the place and attack them. It was really simple. It's my brilliant plan. And basically, one of the monsters has the idea of like, hey... Like, as long as we're in the real world, the gateway to the comic book world is still open. We can just keep summoning more monsters for help. Which, you know, like, that's going to be the Monster of the Week setup from here on, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the boss is like, that's a great idea! We'll do the thing that... We'll basically do the Rita Repulsa thing. That sounds like fun.
I mean, like, Rita Repulsa is like some sort of... she goes around giving, like, talks, and she sells her book to other villains, like...
You know, Vexor's like...
Shoot for the moon, the way to be a monster villain!
Oh my god!
Oh god. Oh man, so...
Vexor is like one Prophet Velen-looking dude. Now that I'm looking
at
him close.
Yeah, I was about to say!
Yeah.
Like, he's one World of Warcraft-looking... Son of a gun.
Yeah.
He looks like we never actually described what he looked like. He almost looks like... he almost looks like... shoot, what were they called? Like, the leader aliens from Halo 2?
Oh, you mean
those guys?
The Prophets?
Yeah, the Prophets. Yeah. Like, that... It's
kind of a weird mishmash, because he looks very...
Or he looks like any given bad guy from Warframe, essentially.
He looks like, if there was an enemy in a Devil May Cry game based on something from a church,
yeah,
and then you made that into like a cosplay suit. That's basically what he looks like.
Like long, slender face, long fingers.
Yeah,
really big ass collar.
But you just reminded me of my favorite joke that we just kind of skimmed past. So when like the bad guy monster crew are first going into the movie theater, they don't know what a movie theater is. And so they're wondering, like, why is everyone sitting, like, you know, lined up the way they are facing the front? And one of them thinks, like, well, maybe it's a church?
That's true, yeah.
Like, they see the monster on screen and everybody gets scared and they're like, oh, wait, nope, never mind.
Nope.
Yeah, never mind. Not a church. Got it. Although I love that somehow these comic book monsters that have been thrust into the real world have a concept of organized religion.
But not a movie theater.
Sure.
Not a movie theaters, but organized religion. Like, yeah, 100%. They know what's going on.
Well, there could be church scenes in comic books.
I guess. But so the kids are back in the haunted house, and I guess this is like the next day or something. And like they don't see Flabber anywhere, and they haven't tried to use their superpowers or anything in the intervening time or whatever. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But they're like, I guess it was all a dream. And then like a black cat jumps out and jumps onto the organ and meows at them and is like, guess again, bitches, it's secretly Flabber. He talks about how he was hanging out at the house of the neighbor and he had a saucer of milk, which like,
that's
you're
just
a
creepy.
Weird guy, Flabber, you know?
Yeah.
Just fuck you, Flabber.
I'm Liberace, Robin Williams, and also Luna. I'm everybody.
You know what? If Flabber were in Sailor Moon, he would clearly be just one of the villains that gets beat in a single episode.
Yeah. Oh, please. Please.
I'd kind of like to see that. But anyway, so the kids are hesitant about, like, basically Flabber tells them, like, hey, you kids aren't actually done. Like, those guys are going to keep summoning monsters. You're in it for the long haul. You're superheroes now. You've got to fight villains for now until roughly eternity.
Well, he sort of specifically says that you've got the powers until they're defeated.
Yeah. The kids, Drew in particular, is like, I don't know about this, Flabber. We need to bail on this. And he knocks over a lamp, but then keeps it from hitting the ground and breaking because he grabs it with his mind. And this is where we realize that the kids kind of have some lingering powers even when they're not transformed.
Mm-hmm.
So Drew, it turns out, he has psychic abilities. Joe has super strength. He calls them mind powers,
He just goes, I have brain power.
Oh, right, he calls them brain powers. That's nice.
Yeah.
Drew has brain powers. Joe has super strength. And Roland has super speed. Which, yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right, sure.
And then all of a sudden, like, okay, actually, you know what? We're on board with this horrible curse. We get superpowers out of the deal. Yeah, that's fine. Because they're little kids and they don't actually understand the real price they're paying here. So they actually have kind of a tearful goodbye with Flabber, even though they're going to just keep coming back to the haunted house all the time. And they're just going to be friends with him from here on. But for some reason, it's still like he's real sad.
Tearful in that Flabber is the only one crying.
Yeah. God, Flabber's the worst.
Although Joe gives
him a hug, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that. Like honestly, that's the hardest part to swallow of all of this, is that these kids don't find him annoying. They fucking love Flabber. Like even if I was these kids, even if I was, you know, fucking 8 or whatever, and in this situation, I would fucking hate Flabber.
Fuck you, Flabber.
Thanks for the powers, but God, could you just stop?
Yeah, and so they say goodbye to Flabber, they say goodbye to the pipettes who were in this episode for all of 10 seconds, I guess.
And somehow they managed to say pipe down like 600 times.
Yeah. I mean, they did more in the first episode, but like fuck, what are you really going to do with a tiny lady trapped in a pipe organ?
Cool, let me
Except
tell you.
There's 3 of them.
some tumblers.
Go on.
Tiberius actually reversed Luke.
Real manic pixie girl. No.
What?
It's a graveyard smash. So,
this show has a lot of characters. You have 2 monster crews.
Yeah, the show kind of does. Yeah, there's two sets of monster crews. There's apparently other people living in the haunted house that we haven't even really encountered yet. But yeah, it's ridiculous. So we got the 3 main kids. We've got the girl who works at the comic shop that Drew's got a crush on. We've got Roland's dad, Roland's grandma, the 2 bullies, the butler of the bullies who we're going to see again in a moment. Like, there is a pretty big cast to this show, surprisingly. So anyway, we cut back to the comic shop, and apparently Roland's dad is up on a ladder cleaning the sign to the comic shop, And the girl who works at the comic shop, I can't even remember her name.
Heather.
Like, the whole motivation for why these kids went to the haunted house in the first place was like, yeah, it was a dare from the bullies, but, like, the instigating incident is that Drew wanted to prove himself to this girl.
Oh, it's Heather.
Heather, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, how else can you motivate a main character except having a crush on a girl? Like, there's just no other way to do it, right?
It's the only other way. I mean, what other possible motivation could there ever be?
Yep. Mm. So anyway, they come back to the comic shop. Nano, which is the nickname for the grandma in the show, comes out. Is like, hey, where have you kids been? My chili is ready to go. Like, she also talked a lot about her chili in the first episode.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
say,
just...
Wasn't she making that? Didn't she have it on yesterday?
Yeah, well, apparently it's like super slow-cooked chili, which I think we actually speculated about at the time. Or maybe she just makes it a lot. Maybe that's the only thing she knows how to cook, and she just makes it again and again. Maybe Roland eats nothing but chili. That's all he subsists on.
Maybe that's why the dad's so whiny.
Yeah, maybe that's why the dad's so whiny, and maybe that's why Roland only has two friends. He's constantly farting.
Jesus!
I mean, it's the chili diet. I mean, that's what happens to you. So, basically, the bullies in their limo roll up, and we get some loud kind of pseudo hip hop music. The Netflix subtitles say rock music, and it's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's a drum beat, and turn it up. Turn it up. A repeat.
Yeah. Nano fucking loves it. She's just dancing.
Yeah. Turn it up.
Turn it up. It's the laziest, like, the producers of this show just discovered that, you know, hip-hop has been around for, I don't know, a decade at this point, and like, oh, that's the cool new thing the kids are into. Let's just do that.
Let's just press the button on the Casio keyboard.
Yeah, it's basically the demo on a keyboard. But so the butler has huge pieces of cotton coming out of his ears, which is a touch that I like.
Yeah.
Also, he seems to be on the... driving on the right side of the car?
Yeah, it's a British
car. Oh, shit, yeah. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice because that's what we do here, so I was like, oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's not normal in the States.
No, and the door opens on the wrong hinge, too.
Oh, no, that's those are the suicide doors.
Yeah.
So, the bullies, whose names are Trip and Van, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
just had a guttural
and get hit by a van.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, like, this is what you missed by not watching the first part, Jules, is getting to truly meet Trip and Van.
Like, I already, like, had a, oh god, here we go moment when I first saw them. I didn't know their names, you mentioned them, just like... Oh, God. It's like some weird fucking... Ugh. I can't describe it.
You miss them, like, strolling into the comic shop and just kind of stealing some candy, being like, we can get away with it. Our dad owns the building. You know, that kind of shit. They're the fucking worst.
Fuck.
Yeah, so they start arguing with the kids. Like, basically, Joe's like, hey, you two lost the bet. And they're like, no, we didn't. Clearly, you guys ran away way before we did. And I can't even begin to be anywhere near as annoying as these two kids. And I'm pretty naturally annoying. But, like, like I can't... Jeez, I can't get anywhere near as bad as these two. But, like, they start doing, like, a weird handshake. And they say some fucking rap about how nobody can step to them because we're the best. And, like, God, they're the worst. But... Drew turns to Roland and is like, hey, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Because Roland's dad has climbed down from the ladder, but he left his bucket of soap water up at the top. And so basically, Drew, like, uses his mind powers to pick up the bucket and dumps soapy water all over Trip and Van.
Zordon would totally take their powers away if he knew that happened.
Yeah, but that's Zordon. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like...
Flabber's the new cool
Flabber's
guy.
An agent of chaos, though, so yeah. he's all about it.
Flabber is chaotic neutral. Let's be clear.
At his heart, he's a bit of the Joker, too. He's like, yo, let's get some power, see what checks out. Who knows?
Yeah. What I like, there's two things I like about this. One is just how shitty the effect of...
Oh, it's terrible.
The effect of the bucket floating in the air is. It's a really shitty green screen thing.
Well, it wasn't even green screen. I saw a part of... I think they used fishing line. Like, I saw some like of it, the line when
it... Well, I see the lines, but also, like, it's very clearly composited. Like, it's not physically there.
The green screen fucking a fishing line effect.
Like... Yeah, basically. But what's great is, like, before the water actually hits the bullies, they do a freeze frame on the bullies so that they show, like, the executive producers' names.
Yup. Like, right before the water's even on screen.
Yeah, like, because of, you know, all the other shows we watch for this podcast, like, I'm used to a freeze frame, meaning, like, that's the end.
Yeah.
But then, like, no, it freeze frames for a moment, and then the footage starts going again, and the water hits the bullies. And then the kids laugh. So...
I was so confused. I thought the episode was done, and we didn't even... I was like, that's a really bad way to end an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it stays there for a few seconds.
Yeah. Like, Netflix, when the freeze frame happens, pushes the video into the corner so that the next episode is getting ready to play.
Yeah.
So unless you deliberately click back, you don't get to see this bit. But in this bit, I fucking love how, like, the butler reacts...
Yeah,
because that's something we also get in the previous episode. Is this butler fucking hates these kids, and I sympathize.
Yeah,
good reason.
If you were around them all the time, you'd probably hate him too.
I hate him already.
We've seen him for like 20 seconds in this episode, and already I wish they would go away.
But Trip, we've already played Turn It Up for 3 times.
But most of that, I simply can't turn it up anymore.
Rewind the tape, Jeeves. We're hearing it again.
That's the worst thing about this butler's life is he doesn't just have to call them Trip and Van. He has to say Master Trip and Master Van.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Master Trip. I mean Master Hype Killer. Oh, sweet Lord Van.
Master lowercase x capital X lowercase s Sephiroth 420 lowercase x capital X lowercase x.
Master Naruto beats Goku Van.
Master 360 no scope Vegeta. God damn it. Oh fuck. So we actually end this, like, we forgot to mention this last time, but at the end of every episode while the credits are rolling, and there's a unique one for every episode, we see some sort of like comedic sped up Benny Hill thing going on with the monsters in the haunted house. At the end of the first episode it was just Flabber playing the organ real fast in funny ways, quote unquote. This one, it's Count Fangula and Frankie, like, they're walking past each other, but then, like, this other, like, character that we hadn't met yet, who's, like, a living statue, keeps, like, you know, hitting them on the back, and then they keep turning around and thinking the other one is fucking with them. And it's just, I mean, it's kind of funny for physical comedy for a little kid.
For kid shows, it's cute.
It's cute. And that's pretty much that. So, any final thoughts on the second episode of Big Bad Beetleborgs, guys?
Fuck Flabber.
Fuck Flabber.
Nano was super into Turn It Up, and I appreciate that.
Nano is really great. Like, I wish we had more Nano, because, like, she instantly became my favorite character last time.
Yeah, she was pretty cool when she got introduced.
Yeah.
All right, so... like I tend to do on these bonus episodes, I'm going to go ahead and ask each of you in turn the big question of, you know, having watched this, would you want to watch more of this show? So let's start with you, Molly. Would you watch more Big Bad Beetleborgs?
Oh, God. This was fun in a silly way, but no, I probably wouldn't. It's cute, but if I had to watch more Flabber, I don't know what I would do with myself.
That is fair. How about you, Greg?
Knowing that I watched it as a kid, like, I actually watched it in Power Rangers pretty regularly when it was on, but it doesn't really hold up well to me. I probably wouldn't watch it now. If they had made a spoof of the Monster Crew, probably I would watch it to this day.
Yeah. All right, Jules?
Maybe? I don't know, like... I probably will give it a few more episodes and honestly just skip over Flabber every single scene because, God, I fucking hate Flabber.
That is an option. That's the magic of streaming media, is you can just skip all the flabber bits.
Meanwhile, I just kind of want to see more Monster Crew, and I'll be honestly, I'd be willing to only skip to just watch Monster Crew scenes.
I will say, if you want to see more of the Monster Crew, do go back and see part one, because you get a lot of the Monster Crew in that one.
Oh no, Evil Monster Crew.
Oh, Evil Monster Crew.
The funny Monster Crew.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they're both funny. I liked the Evil Monster Crew in the first part. But
you know what would have been kind of fun? If there was some... I almost want to say if there was like a red versus blue of the Monster Crews.
Oh.
They have a baseball episode?
That would have been sweet.
Oh, man.
Awesome. All right, so Tiberius, how about you?
I don't know if I would binge watch this entire season. No. Hella no. I kind of want to see what an episode from the middle of this seems like, because there was like a lot of set placing. And I want to, mostly out of odd curiosity with like this big of a cast, like, do the Pipettes ever show up again? Or do they just like, okay, that was a bad idea, we're not doing that. Or
they actually do a little mini series similar to the Green Ranger introduction, where they bring in another Beetleborg.
Yeah, isn't the Shadowborg?
Yeah, well, that's the villain, and then I think there's a white Beetleborg.
Yeah, I remember there was this whole thing about, like, oh man, we need an ally. Let's get the Stan Lee stand-in, the guy who invented the comic we got our powers from, and have him make up a new one.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to find another kid to give that character's powers to.
Okay, I'm kind of into that. I'll watch that.
Yeah,
so I looked up that... the show on Wikipedia because I had to figure out when it turned into Beetleborg's Metallics for whatever reason. And then it turns out that is a
Beetleborg Metallics. That's all I remember from that TV, because they just like took the old theme but added Metallics in there, just like Metallics.
They did that stupid thing, gets stuck in my head to this very day, and I'll try to
remember the theme song to this. And for the life of me, no matter how hard I tried, I just kept getting VR Troopers back in my head.
I remember. I had it in my head today.
I think I got infected by some mimetic virus or something.
I think you
possibly.
I think you got infected by the Cure, because I can't. Virus. Like, even now, with like you mentioned, we're doing a Beetleborgs episode. I was like, just by chance, Free to Ghost, who made them Beetleborgs? Beetleborgs.
Oh no.
It's super catchy, and it's weird because you would think a theme song where the lyrics are essentially just explaining the plot of the show wouldn't actually be that good, but it's kind of the Gilligan's Island effect. Is like they just made it work, whatever.
But
is going to be the only time in history anyone will have compared the show to Gilligan's Island, I'm sure.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What I was trying to say is that the Shadowborg thing is a 6-part episode chain. Six parts.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm into that.
So, all right. So I'm the only person who hasn't answered yet. So would I watch more of this? Probably. Yeah. I mean, like I enjoy it for what it is. It's really dumb kids TV. Like, so if I'm feeling bored and I've got the night off and it's like 2:30 in the morning, sure, I might watch some more Beetleborgs. Whatever. But I'm not really gonna go out of my way to binge watch it either. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with the consensus that, like, the show would be a lot better if there wasn't Flabber in it.
Fuck Flabber!
Fuck Flabber. God, God damn.
He was already pretty obnoxious the last time around, but the thing is, in the first episode, he didn't really show up until, like, the last, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, like, we had to get all the plot leading up to them setting him free. But this episode is chock full of Flabber, and he is so terrible.
Just chock full of Flabber.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that blame we can really put on, like, say, the actor, because I'd wager, like, there was a writer and a producer being like, nah, man, this is what the kids want. Fucking go for it, dude.
Costume as well. Like, it's kind of this weird coalition of everything about Flabber is just bad.
I feel like they threw a bunch of shit at the wall with Flabber, and they're like, okay, fucking, you know what?
Even the fucking name. Even the goddamn name Flabber.
He does all kinds of catchphrases. He says, like, flibbity, flabbity, let's give it some gravity when he casts a spell. And he calls things like flabberific and flab out. And he's like,
Flabber.
I've got a flab ache.
Flabberific.
Like,
Gotta flab out.
Forgetting that flab is a word already. So.
Okay, who in the 90s had their flabber t-shirt?
No!
Gotta flab out.
Fuck flab.
Flabber for kids?
You can totally see him being on a t-shirt. I'm like, okay, we're gonna sell so much merch, guys. You have no idea.
It's flabbing time.
Oh, God. Man, what would flabber be like in a greedy reboot of this thing? Like,
I don't know. Right. I'm trying to
think.
Well,
they say that they pulled inspiration from Elvis. So, yeah. What sort of something?
I imagine, like, if it was actually like, if it was a more realistic depiction of Elvis, just as really, like, you know, last year's Elvis, like, super drunk, disgruntled, cynical ghost who is like,
yeah,
overweight, yep, and doesn't really like give a shit about anything.
He's like, I used to be an entertainer once. I used to be great.
Yeah.
Flabber the Magnificent.
It's like, I died on the toilet, god damn it, and now I live in this fucking haunted house. God damn.
Who's on first, god damn it? Who's on first? We get it, Flabber. We all heard the joke. It's very funny, Flabber. Reference.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So, yeah, let's wrap this up. Okay, so, okay, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
I'll turn it to Flabber. Oh no!
Oh no!
The frost has begun.
The metamorphosis has begun.
No,
ever.
We unleashed something we did not understand.
Flabber!
We dug too greedily into the beetle box.
All right. Well, to wrap up the episode, I'm going to ask my flabberific guests if they have anything they'd like to plug. Gregory, do you have anything you want the audience to check out?
Maybe surgical masks so they don't catch any flabber virus.
Hey!
Like a SARS mask for flabber?
Alright, Jules, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at GatsbyLow, and I'm also a writer on Women Write About Comics, and please, for love of God, seal Flabber away. Stop Flabber. Please.
Nothing can stop Flabber. All is lost. Tiberius, do you have anything you'd like the listener to check out?
Hey, baby, you need to thank me on
Tiberius, first save us!
I'm gonna roll for your lives! Weekly! No, I don't know. Whenever it comes out.
Alright, roll for your lives. What do y'all do on Roll for Your Lives?
Oh, yeah, you know that great impression I did right there? You get more of that.
Yeah?
We play D&D and do funny voices with each other.
Fantastic. Alright, and Molly, you probably thought I'd stop doing the character, but no such luck. Do you have anything you want to plug?
So close. I'm on Twitter at IZZETMallory, and I will be putting out a Totally Spies rewatch podcast sometime in the next couple weeks, so keep an eye out for that, I guess.
Alright, let us know when you get started on that, and we'll throw up a link somewhere. All right, and for teenagers with attitude, I have been Flabber. Oh no, I've been Mike.
I've been Jules, and it's like a terrible shock jock mix with Flabber, and you somehow made it worse. You monster! You monster!
We're all stuck in here with him. We can't. All
right. Fucking try that again. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Mike.
I've been Jules.
I've been Molly.
I've been Greg.
I've been Tiberius.
God damn it.
This is what happens when you bring Flabber onto the fucking podcast.
And may Flabber haunt you always.
No.
No.